This is a production of Cornell University.
SA meeting, March
6,
2008.
Yes.
Here.
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 Oh, here.
Present.
Come on
back.
Here.
Here.
Just excuse. Here. Did you say
here? Here.
Now onto approval of the minutes from the February 21st meeting. Thanks to Liz for putting those together. Take a look at them. If there are any questions, comments, or concerns, please make those now. Otherwise, please make a motion.
Acclamation.
I'm going to call for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? The minutes from February 21st have been approved. Now on an open microphone, at the beginning of every SA meeting, all undergraduate students are welcome to come forward. There's one more thing. This is from the preparation committee.
Yeah, it's just the test.
Excuse me. All undergraduate students are non-voting members of the student assembly, and at this time we'd like to recognize anyone who'd like to speak on an issue that's not related to the agenda today. This would be your opportunity to come forward. All right. On to announcements and reports. The first is a spring 2008 elections report from Director of Elections Mark Cook.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't get this bad news, mostly neutral news. We don't have any announcements of candidates today. The elections committee will be meeting tomorrow to decide. And we have one challenge, an important one, something that some of them had, and that's through the Cornell logo. We also have other issues to discuss, and we'll validate the results tomorrow, and they should be up on the website tomorrow evening, or Saturday, or sometimes. It's been hard to get them up on the website.
Any questions for Mark? Rebecca Stein.
Is the election committee in Michigan being disputed over these people logo, or?
No.
Okay,
yeah.
Because when I
couldn't
do that,
I was
trying to
do
not a problem.
Right. It's an iffy issue. That's why I wanted to bring it to the since the candidate went ahead and put it in a challenge, we're going to determine the validity of it there.
So would that challenge theoretically apply to my dispute that I would initiate to have a
control on to? Probably not. To our knowledge, the time in the office, there was an issue with it. We didn't even know there was an issue with this one. I haven't seen the challenge, but apparently there's a little slight in there, and we're going to go ahead and look at it. The only other thing I would say is I'll talk about the elections for me tomorrow. One small suggestion change, I'm going to take much of your time. So last semester, we added in that people had to bring their receipts in person to the office. And that was at the end of it because of candidate sign, and then she's also signed another change. We're going to add that I suggest adding the word original receipts because he will bring it down. So we're going to make that one small change to open tomorrow, and that's the only logistical thing. I'm going to be open to the questions.
Asa.
I'm curious about ACT changing and how are they handled? Is that automatic, or what's the deal with that?
I have my copy of the election rules. The only thing I'm going to do right now to prevent, so if anybody has any questions about this, I'm not going to answer them. We're going to have an elections committee meeting about that tomorrow, but I'm going to just read the rule straight from the copy of the election rules. I'm camping a plan. And I would note that my copy here was printed, I think you meant it. And my copy here was printed at 3:28. Failure to submit appropriate documentation expenses by 12:30 p.m. on the last day of the election will result in automatic disqualification. If there are any further questions about that, I encourage you to come to the election committee tomorrow at 4:30.
Rami. And this is...
Can this also apply? I had a question about, payments made online, for example, where actually received out of telephone, so it would
call. Good luck.
Just to avoid getting in a lot of these kind of discussions, I want to encourage anybody who has questions like that to go ahead and show up at the elections committee meeting tomorrow for their meeting. I'll leave this time to plan together. Anybody who wants to, give me an afterwards to me an email. I'll let you know.
Rebecca Stein,
with regard to original interviews, I was under the impression that something is cited as market value and you don't need to provide a receipt at all.
Yeah, we're going to just do a boycott. Come to the election committee meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Swan report from Milan Greenberg. That's you. If you have any other questions or comments for Alon, just please send him an email. SA committee budget update from Vice President Adam Gay.
All right, thanks again. I just passed out a sheet as requested by Mr. Mazdak, telling the committee the link business committee budget breakdown so far. So if everyone takes a look at it, I'll just highlight the big things. Right now, these are still preliminary. Obviously, we're still in the year, and certain expenses over the last couple of weeks still haven't been tied in yet, so everything's not tying down in the exact cents or dollar, but this gives you a basic idea of where we are. I'll highlight the big things. SA admin, this is the SAFC clerk room, and a lot of other stuff. Ivy Council appropriations, about 300 in copies, and then 1,400 in food, CIG, communication. Residential and community life, my understanding was this was layover from last year when the bus program was expensed through us. This wasn't actually charged until the beginning of last semester, so the beginning of fall 2007, and so that's why this charge is shown right now, but that is now shifted over to class council, so this charge could be as expense that's taken care of. On elections, it looks around $9,700 has been expensed thus far, but as Mark knows, last year I think it was close to $17,000 or $18,000 in total after the full year cycle is tied up, so that's going to be the overall expense, and then is the rest. So, just wanted to ask any questions about this.
Mazdak.
Thanks, Adam, for bringing this. Just two questions. One, why is the appropriations committee expense so high? And can you just describe what the action expense and the CDC expense?
Yeah. Affirmative action I'll have to check on because I actually wasn't sure about that, so I can bring that next week. Appropriations, $1,400 was spent on food, and that was for the 17 or 18 people, or 17 people who would be there for all of the meetings, and then a little over 300 was copies. So I believe it was 1420 last semester, maybe 60, so around 1500, and then the rest on many copies. Copies have also been expensed through the student activity fee. Because all this documentation, all this paperwork, all the binders, everything is expensed down there. And like I said, affirmative action, I didn't have a chance to check that one, so I will bring that next week. I was curious about that too.
So the main expenses that they have listing is copies?
It's copies, documents, office supplies. I can try to get a more specific breakdown, but.
Yeah, no, the only reason I asked is that. I mean, I wasn't sure why they split it separately because all of our money went to benefit ads.
Right. I think it was all just related. All of this stuff is just related to the student activity fee. Any charges for such was expense there. And I included all the headings just to be clear.
Any other questions for Adam? Adam, thanks for bringing
that. Actually, let me one more quick update. My plan is that over the next few weeks, I want to get a more conference. Once everything is expensive of the year, we'll tie this up, and then in mid-April, give a final summary for the year. And then the other idea that we've been talking about with the office is, as there's been very few layers in the years past, and this is the budget issue which we can bring up, it's been suggested that we actually set a more specific budget process. So then in the future, but we'll be discussing that over the next few weeks.
Appendix B update from Adam.
Okay. This is the second issue, as has been brought up multiple times over the semester. We do have officially have to act on the Appendix B to update the charges. My suggestion is logistically it's been impossible to do this outside of here, and there, instead of arguing over where this should be accomplished, just going ahead and doing this right in front of the full student assembly and get it out of the way. So my idea would be to recommend, you could send me any recommendations you have about any of the groups that we fund, but everything should be pretty straightforward. For example, athletics, there was a consensus last semester on where the money will be spent. Class councils, it's very straightforward where the money is spent. The Minds Matter, all of these things that we agreed to in spirit last semester should be very quickly be able to be detailed and updated. The couple issues where there may be concern, there may be some debate that we can have is over scope day and the exact wording of how we want to address that in our appendix. But my recommendation, unless there's any objections, would be that I'm looking a little bit less time next week, but we could go ahead and do this if possible at the end of next meeting, but if not right after spring break, perhaps we can break to some.
Any questions for Adam? Vince?
I just want to go back to the Student Assembly Committee budget.
Here.
So how much of the appropriations committee is being spent on food?
I think it's just over 1,400. But that was for at least a dozen meetings and 17 people. And so it broke down to $5 to $6 the first. I mean, if you want, I can go through it specifically with you after the meeting. And we can look at every meeting, the attendance, and
just numbers. Just a little high expense in that sense.
And the reason was that the average meeting ran at least 3 hours. Just pick up the entire evening. Often meetings would run, we'd get there at 4:30, we'd leave till 8:30. And these were people, and we had to stay in the room, we had to be hearing these. And this was the only way to get around it. So people had to eat. And this was and relative to last year, obviously it's higher, but last year, they didn't have 4 hour meetings, 3 hour, 4 hour meetings on Monday evening. So I'll be more than happy if you want to go through the individual breakdowns to do that. But.
NASDAQ.
I'd like to ask if I can speak just to follow up on what Vince said. No, I mean, I think that's understandable what Adam's saying. I mean, we have other communities, and the people who are spending time to do that are not really getting anything. They sometimes don't even get thanks on the board based on the site. You know, for sure they get food for 100% of hours. The only question about the appendix we got was do you have a projected date?
If everyone's amenable, I would say that if you want to send me any recommendations you have this week, I could put it together, just the recommendation, and present it as a resolution next week. And if I didn't hear anything, I would just base all the recommendations on what was discussed in the consensus last semester and nothing else. And then during the debate, we could have that. But next week, it doesn't look likely. So if not, I would recommend that we do it the first meeting and come back to spring break.
Any other questions?
I believe last September the communications committee projected an expense of 1,000 to 2,000.
Last year they projected 5,000.
5,000.
This year was 1,000.
I was wondering what's being maybe rolled into when we're planning to do that.
Shirts, which had been discussed under the communications, was instead expensed under the SA admin. So that was a chunk of it. The one thing that's come up is obviously been a couple of recommendations. I think one of the committees under Ashley is getting active now, but that may be small. But any other suggestions, ideas, we can discuss. And as just has been mentioned in the past, we want to involve ourselves somehow with Slope Day. So not the actual programming, but some of it, so we can discuss that in the future if you want to.
Any other questions? Now, some additional announcements. The first is from Ashley McGovern regarding the Environmental Committee.
Hey, Roach. Okay, so I just wanted to say we're having a meeting for the Environmental Committee tonight after this meeting at 7:15, which I'm not sure if we can attend, but it might be a little later. So the meeting is going to be in the Office of Student Support Conference Room, which is the Ivy Room, the Boston Office, and the
Any questions? All right, Rami has an announcement.
Hi, I just want to say I spoke with the Vice President of the Stroke Media Group, and he has offered to videotape all our meetings and possibly put them online so people will have a chance to attend to the still like be informed. And so I know like I just bring it up to the Igor if you guys think it's a good idea or whatnot.
Great, we can relive these meetings twice. I have two additional announcements. The first is that some tragic news out of the University of North Carolina. Their student government president was shot dead earlier today. I'm going to be sending a note onto their university on behalf of our student body, sending my condolences. The second is tomorrow, it is trustee weekend, and the Board of Trustees will be having open session tomorrow from 9 to 9:45 in the Beck Center at Statler, room 396. I'm going to be speaking to them about the accomplishments of the student assembly thus far. So if any of you would like to come, just let me know, and we'll figure out how to get you a ticket or something. Any other announcements or reports? Thanks.
God bless. I get the real attention. Anyway, I may not have heard this last week, but Cloud Council is undergoing a constitutional revision process. We'll probably be bringing forward changes after spring break. We're going through amending our constitution. Some of the things that we're looking at is email policy that we're brought up at the student assembly. That's not just the only thing. We're doing membership status, elections, succession of vice president to president, issues in that sense, just revisiting our constitution, seeing what needs to be addressed. So I just want to make everyone aware that a constitution with provisions will be coming forward to the student assembly shortly after. What we included in our constitution a little bit ago was about our convocation, and that was a necessity at the time, just because we want to get that rolling and get that going. But this is more in-depth. We're like almost kind of like a charter, like with the student assembly, the meeting about the charter. So that's what this is really about, reviewing the whole constitution.
Adam has a question.
Thanks much. Yeah, I have been questioned about what you guys are doing with respect to the email policy. It's great to hear that it's going to be addressed. So, Kat, any others I look forward to?
Stein.
I was actually just hoping you could ask the fact that transfer students are not contacted by their class councils at all. They're not even in the freshman class council email
or
anything like that.
Matt, you have something? Okay. Any other announcements or reports? Any additions to the agenda? All right, moving on to business of the day. The first is an SAFC appeal for alternative breaks. For those of you here for Resolution 17, they're going to be, I estimate, about 5:45 we'll be discussing that. So if you want to put your signs down in restaurants. But alternative breaks, are they here? Come on forward. Taylor is from the SAFC. He's one of the co-chairs. How we're going to work this is I'm going to recognize Taylor for 2 minutes. He's going to kind of give us an overview.
Let me see.
Okay. Adam is going to introduce the situation and the overview, and then we will hear from the group, and then we will open up to questions. So Adam has 2 minutes.
Yeah. And just to be clear, we're going to be hearing three appeals this week, and we have a tax schedule next year. We're going to be hearing 9 SFC appeals, so I hope everybody can make it. And as we've discussed earlier, we're going to be just voting on the SAFC's decision here, so whether you determine the SAFC is error in their judgment or not. Before I turn it over to Taylor to discuss this, the main issue that the Appropriations Committee looked at, alternative breaks, was the date and the time of submission of their materials. After a long discussion, the committee did vote 5-3-1 to felt that the SAFC did err in their determination. However, it was a split decision, and at this point, I'll turn it over to Taylor to talk about the timing issues and the budget submission.
So, to expand a little bit of that, the group officials were sick the week the budget turned in, which was the first deadline to be on my budget was February 3rd, and they, in fact, did turn in the budget, and it was completely blank, so we were unable to fund for anything. They then submitted a hard copy with alterations asking for a certain amount of allocation. But as per our SAFC guidelines, which we found obligated for a book, and book, if you'd like question was submitted at 4:30, which is a half hour after the deadline, which means it's late, which is subject to further reduction of 25% in their actual allocation of year dollars because they haven't actually asked for anything about the county budget. So that actual 25% is rendered irrelevant. So the three big issues we have here is a blank budget coming in with incorrect alterations to that budget, and then the late
And would the group like to start with a statement on the situation? That's fine. SAFC, what was the consensus from the appeal?
Okay, so we ended up not funding the group at all because they officially had nothing on the budget. So, when she talked about changing the hard copy of the budget, we asked that they change the numbers on the physical printed out hard copy, which wasn't done. So because of that and because of the latest, I wasn't actually asked what it taken at 4 o'clock, so I don't know the exact time. Perry at Perry's office, who's the SFB queen.
Special
work Perry. I know the issue otherwise. So
please summarize that.
Those things are kind of added up and evolved into
And just to summarize, appropriations decided.
After listening to both discussions, the committee was very split. It was 5-3-1. And some of the members felt that there were mitigating circumstances, obviously, as presented. However, others felt that that if you go straight by the rules, that there was no excuse for them and agree with the SFC's decision.
All right, I'm going to open up the speakers list. The speakers are going to be limited to 2 minutes. NASDAQ, and if you push them, please.
Thank you. Okay, so the same question I'm looking for the appropriations as well. So, were both people, I understand that one of the people was responsible, but was there anyone else that could have done it, that could have submitted it? I guess that, and the other question to the group is why is this so late? Is there a minute that they didn't have to wait till Wednesday? Because the Wednesday part would have been acceptable, because she said that she was not going to take on Wednesday.
Well, for the part about who was able to do it, we actually have another one from the treasurer who was at the next day.
Right.
And so no one else could actually do it. We only have kind of the crime of four persons word.
Okay.
And we have all the information put together, and none of the other people are on the board. At the time, we're built in the.
Gotcha. And then I guess if Adam or the SFC can talk about this. In the minutes that the group is okay, as long as Doc can get it from the hospital district with the budget, did aside from the group saying that, was that ever confirmed at all in some ways?
I never heard anything as I didn't pursue it outside of the recovery committee. I took them at their word that they said that. But in the past, we've also ruled that anything that's said identify any members offhandedly, that I think it was discussed. That's not a final. That's not a final justification for.
Okay, and then no one in the group, no one of these people had been hurt or tried to contact SAC on Monday before waiting to Wednesday. No, we didn't know that we had to.
Speaker's time has expired. We can't be asking questions about specific medical information. There's no one else on the speaker's list. Basil.
Yeah, basically the FAQ rules do not allow for medical issues being, any consideration for medical issues, which is where I guess our website comes in terms of granting have meaning to. I think alternative breaks is fantastic work. I think that the group has definitely demonstrated that they made a full-fledged effort towards cutting the budget on time, and we're obviously hampered by illness. Therefore, I call the question, and I hope that we vote. We confirm the appropriation committee to fully fund the group.
I'm going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? All right.
Quite aware with the voting.
Yeah. I'm going to give the SAFC a minute just to re-summarize the issue and everything that's at stake here. The group's going to have another minute to respond, and then I'll explain how voting works. Taylor.
Okay. So I think it's important to bring up the fact that at least a dozen groups have not complained because they didn't fill out the budget correctly, essentially asking for no more, which technically is happening. Also, I think it's important to set the precedent that the fact that they didn't contact us beforehand to explain if they had any trouble, as other groups had done, and worked with those groups to figure something out, is important to consider. The fact that everything happened after the deadline is something that we can certainly count on. I think it's something that's very important.
And alternative breaks. Appropriations voted 5-3-1 to grant the appeal. So how voting works, we're voting on the decision of the SAFC. So if you vote yes that the SAFC did err, you're voting in favor of the group in granting the appeal. If you're voting no, you're saying that the SAFC did not err in their decision, and you're voting basically against the group to not grant the decision. Are there any questions? Yeah, Master. The two-thirds of the people sitting here required to disapprove of the actions of a committee, which is the SAFC. Would the court please call the roll?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Fred.
Yes.
Don.
Yes. Abstain.
Greenberg.
Yes.
Carmen.
No.
Latin.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Miller.
Yes.
Adam. Yes.
Adam. Yes. Adam.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. 12-5-2, right? And there are 18 people here. There are 19?
I will vote yes. So the appeal is granted. The SAC did it. What?
There are 18 people.
There are 18 people. Yeah, there are 18 people.
19.
Two abstentions. Two abstentions. It was 12 for yes, 5 for no, 17, and 2 abstentions. That's 19 plus myself is 20. So 2/3 of 20.
Anybody got a
calculator? Hold on, I'm sorry. 7. You need 7.
6 or 9. I'm sorry, not 7. 14. You need 4. Yeah.
So
you're,
my vote.
You're not counting the liaisons, right?
No. They count towards the quorum, right?
No,
not the voting, not the voting.
So they needed
20. There are 20 voting members here right now.
So what do they need?
Two times 20.
What's 20 times 26?
20 times 26.
You have to count to right?
I don't.
So they need 14. So they have 12. So
I'm going to represent the official appearance now.
Yeah.
I was here.
He was here.
Yeah, I apologize. The vote fails. The SAC did not err, and the appeal is not granted. I'm sorry. Next on business of the day is cheerleading. Again, I apologize for the confusion.
No, I just
can't. There are 19 people here.
That's what I said.
What? Yeah. It's the extensions of people that are here.
What's 2019?
Still 14. 13. Yes. Yes, they count towards the people that are here.
So it would have to be 2/3 of the people here.
And there are 19 people here.
Well, not including the liaison.
What?
So 2/3 of the 20. Voting members of the SA. So an abstention is not a no, but it works in the same way. Correct.
Okay. I apologize for that confusion. It won't happen again. The next is all alternative breaks or cheerleading. Taylor, Adam, do you want to come back here and... Can you run out the numbers of the cheerleading.
Cheerleading.
Go ahead.
The microphone.
Mike.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming to join us today. The Appropriations Committee, after much consideration, voted 7-0. At this point, this was quorum during the meeting, so they had quorum, and this was unanimous that they voted in favor of funding the cheerleaders and that the SAFC did air. The issue is, there were three issues that they really focused on. One is whether implicit in the application was the fact that the advisor knew about this, and the advisor was the actual person who filled out the application, not the one issue that came up. Second issue was that they need more confirmation that more than four people need to attend the cheerleaders conference. And we addressed this last semester. When we addressed this last semester with the rugby team, they felt that it was implicit in the team, like rugby, that you need a full squad to be able to actually compete. And we felt that it was the same for a cheerleading squad, that you can't throw a person in there by yourself. The third question was the coach, which the SAFC actually recommended to be overturned, their decision with regard to that specific portion of the funding, and that was because it's never made explicitly clear in the SAFC D&D handbook whether the coach has to be funded out of the local or travel, and since it was never distinguished as something we can address in the future, but at this point that they recommended that we do in fact fund that portion. And so in total, again, the committee voted 7-0 on it.
SAFC.
Okay. So I'll address the coach situation first, but that's pretty straightforward. So we do agree that it wasn't stated where the coach should be, even in the handbook, that's something we're going to talk about over the course of the semester. asking, like, I have questions before now that the maximum amount of speaker can be given, and that's how we treat the coach, $3,000.
Right.
So when we're allocating that, whoever has the power, whether it's me or the SA, to be $3,000 be given to that coach rather than $5,000. As far as the advisor letter, which seems to be a big issue here, the problem we had is very explicit in the president's treasurer's handbook on page 13, category 4, which is the third note down. If you'd like to look at it, I went to where it is. It says the FSU will want to represent four students to attend travel events. This will apply to all student organizations, including club sports. For more than four to attend, official documentation explicitly explaining why there are four students to need to attend. And that is exactly how many students are needed to attend the United States report, e.g., a separate note from the
advisor.
The note from the advisor is not the issue here. This was a provider. So, in order to fund this event, the SAA is to explicitly break the rules of the president. There have been maybe 2 dozen events this occurring. This semester is one of the most common issues in the past semesters, and we don't feel it's fair for one to be funded just because the advisor has a budget. We don't know who's filling out the budget. It may happen in other cases that don't go as formal to students on the field. And so we feel for consistent purchases and just for overall variances that we need to fund.
All right, and then the group.
Okay, so the first issue with the coaches is straightforward. We want to stress that last semester, we were able to choose any by category, so it just wasn't clear what it was. The big issue with the advisor, submitting the budget, we just want to show the fact that we work as a team. We meet together and discuss the budget. Obviously, Amy fills out the budget because we feel like she knows this better than Morgan or I to do it.
So we know that her signature on the budget, her filling out, was like she approved the all costs of it, and she submitted it. So her signature, we felt like that was the signature made by the and it's more of a group effort, not just filled out the
mm-hmm. Do you want to add anything? We're going to form a speakers list. NASDAQ. 14
minutes. Thank you. I have a question about this question. I guess Taylor, we just talked about this too. I see two different issues there. I think one issue is
We viewed it as three issues in total. There was the coach, there was the letter from the advisor, and then there was the four, and then there was the four. Right, we discussed them as separate things. I mean, we framed the issue as the letter as on the court shows, but we discussed the issues up.
So I'm saying is that
After discussing all of the issues, the consensus was that they felt that all of the issues, they didn't just want to split the question, they felt they were all valid. So,
did
that basically
split the discussion at all?
We're pretty tied by the handbook, and so both of these are actually
yes.
Would it be possible to have a revised question?
Yes.
Vote on them separately?
Yes.
Okay.
The two issues.
How much time do I have?
You have 45 seconds.
Okay. I think that the issue regarding the advisor is something that is unclear in the handbook. It's here in the minutes, and I think it's unclear what category should go under. So I think that advisor issue, that appeal should be granted. For the issue regarding the number of people on the squad, unfortunately, it is going to be common
something that happens to me, I'm not sure. And I know that the it should be consistent across the board. And it just doesn't look good at all, right? Because at the end, it's the one because we have 12 of them, not going to fund this exactly.
So you've motioned to split the question. Second.
One question being the
advisor.
The advisor, the number of people on the select.
Okay. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent to splitting the question? There's none. We'll begin with the discussion. We'll just split the discussion now, and then we'll vote on that, and then we'll move to the other discussion. So let's limit our discussion right now to the advisor, and whether or not the advisor should be funded.
The coach.
The coach. Okay. Ahmed.
Call the question on the advisor question.
Second. It's a coach.
Coach.
It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? All right. Group take 1 minute.
Really?
Yep. Group 1 minute about why the coach should be funded. Go ahead. 13. SAFC.
We agree that it's pretty big in the handbook and that they use as a punish for it. But if we're going to get it to be the $5,000 requested versus the $3,000 requested, this any person that's going to be funded would go under the speaker rather than equal rather, which was where it was funded. And so once you can give to the speaker, it's $3,000. That's our option.
Yeah. There's been a call for acclamation on agreeing that the SAFC did err. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. If you vote yay, you're voting that the SAFC did err in favor of the group. If you're voting no, you're voting against the SAFC and you're saying that the against the group and you're saying that the SAFC did not err. With the number of people in the room, the group needs 14 yeses for the appeal to be granted on the coach. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. 17-02. The appeal is granted on the coach. Let's move on to the number of people on the squad being funded. I'll form another speaker's list. Yes. Yes. That portion of the appeal was granted by that vote. Now we're discussing the number of people on the squad that should be able to go. Yes. All right. Speaker's list. Randy.
Yeah, I just want to say we've dealt with this problem many times before. And I think choosing the squad, just in the term squad, it's implied it's more than one person. They need people. I think this is an overreach. So we should definitely
reverse
and
support them. Okay. I actually have a question to the group's advisor.
One minute.
Okay, so the DNC handbook doesn't stipulate. So you're saying that the DNC handbook stipulates only the president and treasurer that an advisor needs to submit a note, but it doesn't stipulate that the advisor is the one submitting the budget that they need to submit a note. Is that
correct?
Okay, what does that say to your response to that?
30 seconds.
That's a pretty good response.
Well, our argument is that this handbook governs anyone, any group applying for SAP funding, and we don't discriminate who is submitting the budget. It could be, it has to be signed by the advisor, the president, and the treasurer. Besides that, if your grandmother wants to do the budget, that's fine, but we're going to hold everyone to the same standard. Whether the advisor did or not, we're going to hold that group to the same standard as the president. So we're not
going to try. Nasdaq, your time has expired. It's an emotion. Is there a second?
Second.
You're ready to sign. 45 seconds.
Quick question to you, Mayor. In the handbook that each organization must abide by the policies in that handbook. So I'm curious how you interpret the word organization. Do you also interpret that as meaning students in the organization?
20 seconds.
I'm sorry. And that's it. See how you interpret that word. No, it's just when it says that each organization has to apply by the policies, is that only the students of the organization?
Yes.
I don't think it would be fair to allow
the speaker's time to expire. Bad day.
I understand what you're saying with the fact that the PMT handbook, but it does go with you out there refers to the organization, not just the president and the treasurer. And if you go by that same argument, the technically should just be the president and the treasurer is submitting the budget and not the advisors. So I'm kind of in response to what Brandon said. Brandon, I didn't know Brandon the totally opposite of it. If we say yes to this group, we have 12 other members compared to say, you know, well, if we wanted to be able to, we would have given you the money, but we didn't because, you know, you had to follow the rules, and I think you had to follow the rules. I understand there's an emotional component because the group may not be able to send more than four people, but that's unfortunately from the guidelines. Do you have any other components to do this with you?
Three more.
Okay. So I would
say now four.
That, and it says it throughout in the minutes of the appropriations committee as well, it seems like that there was no note. It's clear in the fact that you need notes to get more people funded. And that actually has to add to that correctly. A number of groups not funded for the executive meeting this semester, every semester basically. I've seen this deal at the time with the month.
Liaison Messi.
I would ask the SA to look at past voting precedent in this issue. They recall last semester the rugby team had a similar incident, and they assumed that a squad or team or whatever implied more people, and that passed, and they were funded. So I ask that you look, if you're talking about, you know, looking at the way we voted and how we're voting and how this affects. We've already voted last semester as an assembly to fund an organization when SWAT is implied to be more people. So I would take that into consideration because I think SWAT does imply 20 people.
Point of information, can the president or the vice president of finance explain what the exact issue with the rugby team was? Because I honestly don't remember.
Adam?
I believe it was the same issue that they were only funded for a very limited number of people, and then they can't compete without a team, and they argued that.
Yeah.
I believe it was the exact same issue that they were only funded for a couple of people for the same reason, but they argued that they needed it was implicit in their application.
No, was it the advisor that no thing?
I don't remember if it was the advisor or the.
I think it was electronic. Was that the person who brought the computer?
Hey, would be
no.
Instead of debating, I'm sorry, I can't make it a big deal.
Go ahead.
If anyone has electronic, anyone can pull out the minutes for that because I think that's a very good point that Greg brings up. But I'd like to know what the exact issue was. I mean, a very similar issue, sort of kind of a vague.
I'm sure it was exactly the same.
Guy's going to look it up.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to continue with the speakers list, though. Vice President Lavin.
I mean, I was just going to what the amendment said. I think we have a precedent. My opinion is very clear. So, I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable, as I voted for the appeal for the rugby team, why I wouldn't vote for this one. We have the precedent. It just doesn't seem. I was going to call the question, but, well, I'll wait for that. Randy.
Yeah, when I said that we voted on something like this before, I was specifically referring to the rugby, but thanks for all the mentioning. When dealing with that situation, I remember Vice President Lavin, he made a comment that really resonated with me, was that the reason that the appeal process isn't stated is because, like, they're bound by the PNC handbook. We're necessarily not. So we have a chance to delve deeper and pretty much, like, understand the circumstances that these people are in. So I think it's just
another,
like, it's like an appeal to our humanity.
Yeah. Sure. Oh. Does anyone want to respond to that? Vince. How can I go?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the precedent argument. I remember last time during the rugby debate, I actually voted no in that argument. I am kind of disturbed that we as the assembly should have put something in the SAFC guidelines, if that's how the assembly feels. We have the full latitude to do so. And no one brought that forward and no one changed it. And I just want, as an assembly member, I just want to reiterate, and I've said this numerous times, that I really dislike the SAFC. But, I dislike them, but since as an organization, they are a committee, and their guidelines, I follow their guidelines, and I feel we're creating a form of precedent without doing so. So I vote based on the guidelines we set. I want to change the FA numerous times, but the FA has had it numerous times to change it. And we are going to be putting a vein on our own organization, the FAC. And we don't even support the institution itself. We constantly vote against the rules that we set. And as you brought up, we could have inputted that stipulation, and we did. Why did you do that?
Can we keep debate relevant to the topic?
It's not relevant. Because we didn't put in the SAFC guidelines, we had to
give you our position with that.
Because we didn't put it into the SAFC guidelines, I feel everyone should be committed to vote based on the rules. There's nothing in the rules that is
Representative Hartman.
Representative Wang.
Representative Wang.
Huh?
So I feel committed to vote based on what we're doing. Yeah, I'm sorry to get headed over this, but it's sadly the truth. The rules, we ourselves, I will know for the group as well last year, and I'm going to have to vote again. No, because there's really no no. I'm sure funding will be funding will be pumped, so I hope that you will go for funding from other groups. I'm sure there's money around that you can use in order to make sure that
Mark.
If nobody minds, I found the minutes from our
go ahead, John.
The issue of the rugby team was that they did not submit a letter saying that they needed 60 people to go, but they did apply for the funding for 15 cars, and their argument was that by SAFC guidelines, 4 people per car gives a team of 60 people, and so they felt it was implicitly understood from their application for funding that they were bringing 60 people, even though they didn't have that explicit note.
Any questions about that, Ahmed?
Yeah.
Next,
I do have a quick question.
Go ahead.
You're saying that they filled out the budget, they filled out for 15 cars, so they assume, is it correct that it is clear in your guidebook that there's 4 persons per car?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, fully funded the 15 cars.
That's correct. Would you literally imply that you understood that they had 60 people? Okay, so that was, it wasn't an imposter, there's no issue, is what I'm saying.
Well, it was similar to that, and that's the argument of the SAFC, that it wasn't clear, there was no indication, there was no documentation, such as a letter should have been included to say you need 60 people, and they had to derive it from somewhere else, i.e. the 15 cars.
But we did vote 12 to 4 to 2 to fully fund them for the travel based on this argument.
12 to 4 to 2. Okay.
Mark.
Yeah, last semester,
SDOE. There was a guy who was in running for freshman rep, and he wanted to do that very, very much. He emailed me almost every day, he spoke with me for the campaign, etc. He wanted to return his finances late. I had to tell him right there, you're disqualified. I didn't like to do that. Recently, we got a rule that said you couldn't mention campus organizations in your election statement. That meant that nobody could say student assembly in their election statement. I didn't like it. It was ridiculous. That's what the rule was saying. This group is particularly difficult for me because, they are a vital organization to the school. Unfortunately, we have created this document. These are the rules that the SAST and the SAS refined by. I don't like to do it. I didn't like telling him he was disqualified. I didn't like telling people you can't mention student assembly in your own electioneering on the website. It's unfortunately what we set out, and it's only fair to follow it as ridiculous as it is, and promise that we will change it in the future so something like this does not have to happen again.
Rebecca, Stein.
I think that the general sentiment with the rugby team was that it was absolutely ludicrous to take away funding from a vital campus organization which our constituents would want to see competing just because there was a slight mistake with their SAFC application. It is absolutely ridiculous and possibly even discriminatory not to apply that same line of reasoning to the cheerleading squad. And I call question. I think that we should all support this. I think we should support the group.
Second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right. Yes.
I was just going to ask a little bit of stipulation. I don't know how to add to our applications, but we talked about that 15 card thing.
Okay.
Is there anything in specific?
Yeah. Look. All right.
This is on one of the pages that you guys have. There's one of the emails from Jamie Gent to Amy. Has dated on January 31st, and it talks about team registration, $25 per participant, 20 participants, and then down below another event, team registration, $55 per participant, 20 participants. That's been one of the emails that I haven't gone further. There's other documentation as to what cheerleading entails.
So it is in there.
That's put in a letter.
He's asking. All right. There is other dissent, but we've already heard from one person. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
All opposed? No abstaining. All right. I'm just going to call the question. Group, take 1 minute to summarize your arguments and everything for this last part regarding how many people are in the squad.
I just want to make clear that we
being said, what are the funding? There are
not gotten funding because they did not meet this requirement. And I don't think they should be penalized just because they did not meet the appeal.
So, once again, if you're voting yes, you are voting with the statement that the SASD did err, and you're voting in favor of the group and their appeal in this area. If you're voting no, you vote that the SASD did not err, and you're voting against the group for their appeal. With the number of people in the room, 14 votes are going to be required to overturn the decision of the SASD.
One question for me.
Yes?
When we say the SASD erred. Erred in what?
Erred in making the decision to not grant the appeal.
Based
on the information that's in the President and Treasurer's handbook
okay.
and the case that the cheerleading team brought forward.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
No.
Yes.
No.
Craig.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
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 No. Abstain.
By a vote of 12-4-3, the motion fails. I'm sorry. Thank you. So the appeal is not granted for that portion. However, the portion for the coach is granted. So thank you for coming by. We appreciate it. Next on business of the day is a IAJ Mecca. And there are SSC as well. One vote of failed by again.
What if you would have been?
I obviously.
Can you? I want to go back to that. Adam, you got it.
What's up?
Vince, why didn't you change it? If that's what you needed, why didn't you do it?
Are you excited?
Did you vote for it?
We need to show an order. We just need one representative. Okay. Work for him. Adam, what's the situation with this today?
Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us again today for another round. The issue today here, there's one issue. That is whether or not IAJ and MECA, two organizations who submitted budgets, or one organization budget for a co-organized event. I believe it was MECA that didn't fill out their portion of the application. However, IAJ did, in fact, fill out the full application, all the materials, and so it was a valid budget. However, due to the fact that the organization which co-sponsored with the MECA didn't fulfill the budget requirements, they weren't able to grant the event. And so the Appropriations Committee voted 5-4-0 to recommend the appeal, the statute of provisions overturned and the group funded. And the discussion surrounded the fact of whether, in fact, it's possible to combine or just allow one group which has submitted a co-org budget to just go ahead and push that into one, their individual budget, single budget. And so that was the issue that was focused on. And as I said, the vote was 5-4-0 in favor of the group. And so the sponsor for this session.
As for the event, I will point to specific wording in the handbook just to clarify things. It's the 115 under 4 and after that. And it's number 1. Each group that is involved in the cohort has been must also submit a single budget for their individual group or part of one of the budget applications for the semester that the cohort has been. The single budget is regular budget that
group. Zach is first on the speaker's list. I got you.
So I just think that the group from my previous appeal doesn't ask that the group to focus on the appeal application and the three reasons that the group can appeal and have this position. The three reasons coming from up there are new information, ethics, and discrimination. Is that right? Okay. And if this group appeals on behalf of new information, and they said that the organization, the original community program, and the project was still in the context of individual ethics, the application should be funded. So therefore, this group, IIJ, would transfer the co-organized application funding to funding. And you also want to look at the last page of the budget application, or the attack we have on the screen. And as I respond to that, I should say that this group did not know that it was not to file all the information in the budget. So to them, having this information, that information was not available at the time that they
One minute. So,
on page 16, as President Schreiber's handbook, it has everything that could be filed under the information group, number one there. So, I'll just read that one in. Appeal is a category of internal sales files that are information that they could not possibly have obtained before the original budget submission deadline. And so, that's really, we didn't know that that was the case here. We thought it might be something.
Is there a motion to extend?
Five.
A second.
Second.
Sorry, dissent. Sorry. Yes, go ahead.
So, IAJ did submit the independent budget, and the whole organized budget that you were talking about, that was also submitted. The thing that was lacking was MEPA's independent budget.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes,
I'm the MEPA treasurer. I can tell you it is new information because up until the budget submission deadline, they thought the MEPA application was going to be submitted, and it was myself who dropped the ball before they knew. Like, there was no way they could have known before the deadline was going to happen.
Very simple.
And so I knew, I didn't know either of them came up before the deadline, I don't want to mention right now, but there is new information coming down to the deadline.
Did MEPA, can I ask you a question?
It's 15 seconds.
Did MEPA work on the coordinated budget?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Representative Paytel.
Actually, I was going to say, you guys said that it's open to interpretation. Can you explain to me exactly what this law is like, or what is going on with this
program?
Okay, so the budget that is under question is the Islamic cultural.
Okay.
not grounds for new information that they would be able to communicate with each other.
Oh, so how, to the how is that like new information? Because I think that's what you saw, like, you guys could communicate before the budget. What is your argument against that?
1 minute. Up until the night before, the hours before the budget submission deadline, it was planned that both all the applications would be filed. Something happened for me personally that prevented me from doing so, and it was too late for them to change the application. So it is the
equivalent. Well, something happened for you personally, I assume you don't want to share it. But then what about the president? What about the president?
The budget is happening with my possession right now. So there's no doubt you can do it.
So you had to leave town for unknown reasons, and you couldn't get the budget to the president or any other member of MECA before you left town?
It was in the middle of the night before, and there was a situation I had to leave.
He doesn't have to elaborate anything.
I'm not asking.
Okay.
If it was possible to get the budget, I certainly would have done that.
That's fine. That's where we'll leave it at.
The
speaker's time has expired. Yes, Ahmed. Did you?
Oh, no, I just want to say, like, I understand you didn't have to elaborate, but
okay.
I guess I'm wondering this for you, for the chair.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I trust it, but like any group can come out and say, is there a way to verify?
It's in the charter as given to us by the Board of Trustees and the President, but we're not able to ask on any specific information related to health or anything else like that.
If the problem is that you can just look up the exact, I don't want to ask and I don't want to know. I just want to make sure that when I'm making the decision that it is following the charter. So if you don't mind the parliamentary looking up that clause, that's the judicial charter.
Guy, can you look up the front part of the charter where it says that the student assembly cannot ask for specific information related to medical history or anything else?
Yeah, thank you.
They're privacy.
No, of course.
I understand. I would just hope that we would trust the people that came for us and respect their privacy. Basil.
I think as President Slickman just said, trust and respect really come into play here. I think this is a perfect example of where our oversight comes into play again, where I really don't think we should be penalizing one group because another group made a mistake, again, for personal reasons. So after Commissioner Mazza's report, I guess I call the question.
Second.
What's that? Greenberg has it. You want to read that?
Section 1.5 Presidential Information, you have to request the case of the Secret Commission present for a subject to the general. Certain this request is made in the information not first. The President reports that the case of the information not first. Information they shall not request on the bylaw 1.5 or any number 3. Medical, categorical, race, identity, etc. records. Is that a request to the President in a version that the information that they shall not request, shall be, and that doesn't specify who is required?
Hold on, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to understand. Is that
information, Mr. Chair? Why would this information be relevant?
Representative Salem thinks it's relevant towards the reasoning for the group not being able to bring the information and submit the information on time, correct?
The way it was explained to me, I'm sorry, I'm operating on what was explained to me, is that the problem is that the group didn't submit the budget.
Because of extenuating circumstances. We do not know, and I do not think it is appropriate to ask them why.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. There's been a call to question. Some second. There is dissent. Okay, that is magic. What's your dissent?
I was going to ask you, CJ, the thing that you want about the presidential information, I want to hear what guys say. What I'm looking at is Article 5, which is protection, and it talks about confidentiality. And it says, when it's subject to discussion or examination of crisis of personal confidential information, all reasonable efforts should be made to safeguard the confidentiality of the information. The charter says that the FA refuses to go to the executive session and discuss such information, not request. Presidential information, you can't ask like a salary of the university employee. That's saying request to the university president. President Sport has no role in this.
House government at your discretion.
That's not our right whatsoever.
That's fine. If this motion fails to call the question, you can make a motion to go into executive session. We can discuss that. But there is a motion. There is dissent. It's been explained. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many people are there? All opposed. The The motion passes by a vote of 14-3. Group, do you want to take 1 minute and summarize your case again?
So as you stated earlier, we had no idea that he had the budget. So how do we know we would have gone ahead and built it out ourselves? We knew information because we had 2 minutes to build it out. We felt that we were part of the budget as well as the country. And what we're asking for now is that because the MECA budget was built out and they couldn't grant the core of the budget, we want to move all the money that we asked for in the core of that budget to the IAA budget.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Just to clarify, in the middle of the night, I have a question I have to leave you. I have to leave town for personal reasons if you want. Phone
right, no, don't have to elaborate. It's fine.
Don't
let him explain. It's fine. Taylor?
So, we were, your partner had a vote here. They didn't have two individual budgets, so we were unable to fund them. The board had that. Information, as I said before, we need to be able to qualify that. You may be able to feel differently, but that is the way we rule that. That's why we're
asking. Chief Clarkson, it doesn't count, it's not present. All right. Because of the number of people in the room, voting yes is a vote to say that the SAFC did err in their decision not to grant the appeal, and that's a vote in favor of the group. Voting no is a vote to say that the SAFC did not err, and it's against the group. With the change in the number of people that are in the room currently, the group only needs 13 votes for yes for the decision to be overturned. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Pass.
Pass.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes. Yes.
Present.
No. Really? What's your vote?
Present means abstain. The problem is sorry, you guys know that. Abstain.
Wow.
There we are. I have 11.
Abstain. Sorry. Let's use another term.
I have 11, correct?
Sorry.
Wait, sorry.
He wasn't up to it. It doesn't get good.
There's a motion.
11-3-4. I'm sorry the appeal fails. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Next is unfinished business. Resolution 17. Appeal carried. Unbelievable. One more to go. Yeah. 11-3-4.
You need 13.
They don't do math and PAM either, do they? All right. This is obviously a talked about topic over the past week. I would ask everyone in attendance to remain silent unless you are recognized by the assembly to speak. We will have an opportunity for non-assembly voting members to speak. Guy, do you mind going around? Okay, if you'd like to speak with Guy, to speak on this issue, speak to Guy Mazza. He'll take your name down. I'm only going to be recognizing undergraduate students for the first part, and then after we call the question, I will invite community members. So anyone else who would like to speak may speak at that time. I'd also ask that we stay silent throughout the time. If it gets to a point where it's loud in here, then we will take necessary actions. Since this item was on business of the day. Last week, it is on unfinished business. Mark, 10 minutes, go over the ramifications. If we need more time, we'll extend it. All right, take 15 minutes.
Well, first of all, to begin, Drew, good to be here too. We need to snake over to the chair here. Okay, let me read to you. We said we set our pace a lot last week. What we want to do today is give our new co-sponsors a chance to give you their story. Everybody should have done this letter I passed around. I'm going to read that to you now. Dear Cornell Student Assembly, I'm writing to support the resolution asking Cornell University to impose the current restriction on holders' inline pistol permits for carrying a pistol on the university property. I'm a Cornell staff member with 22 years of employment, a member of the Cornell Police Union, with the Connect Commander of Cornell Air Force ROTC. During my career in college, I have a BA degree in history and inline certified firearms instructor and held a concealed carry pistol permit since 1979. I have no affiliation with any political party. The opinions and observations that I express here are my own and not those of any other person or organization. The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution grants individuals the right to bear arms. The amendment is located in the Bill of Rights and is added after objection to raise the first draft of the Constitution. These are primarily granted by the United States federal governments. To say that the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights only grants the right to bear arms to state governments makes no more sense than to say that the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights only grants the right to free speech to state governments. The Bill of Rights is the right to the resolution does not compromise campus safety since anyone who is inclined to commit violent crimes will not observe the existing state prohibition on firearms in schools. This has already happened on this campus and is not a point of debate. The existing prohibition will disarm those who are inclined to obey laws. At both state and international levels, the last decade has shown an increase in violent crime in those jurisdictions where law-abiding citizens have been allowed to carry concealed pistols and an increase in violent crime in those jurisdictions where greater restrictions have been placed on law-abiding citizens. The mere presence of these laws allowing citizens to possess concealed pistols has had a chilling effect on criminals in general, as extending protection even to those who do not actually possess a pistol. Guns are already on this campus. Guns have been used to commit crimes, guns have been carried on campus by accident, and guns are brought on campus by persons who do nothing else illegal with them. To say that the removal of the ban as a result of the presence of guns on campus is false, because in fact, guns are already here. If New York law denies students the right to carry a pistol with which to protect themselves, it would seem logical to provide them with the liability here, provide them with increased protection as compensation for the rights that the state has taken away. If this increased protection is not provided, then it is reasonable for the students to ask for their right to protect themselves to be returned. Law-abiding citizens should be allowed to defend themselves against violent attack, regardless of their strength, age, gender, and disability. They should not be required to plead for mercy for violent felons, endure deadly assaults with the hope that submission will bring survival, or tolerate life-threatening attacks until the protection is provided by others. While the right to bear arms does carry an obligation for any person who chooses to exercise it, the decision to exercise this right within these obligations should be left to each individual bank, Officer Theodore Lascano, March 4th, 2008. Please consider that. I want to introduce them, Rachel and Carol.
Hi, my name is Rachel.
I'm
from the
Just a second, Rachel. Mark, we reviewed the standing rules, and we can't find the phrase that you're referring to for 15 minutes. So I'm going to limit you to 10 minutes. You have 6.5. Go ahead, Rachel.
Imagine a snake professor walks the same one along class and someone comes in with a gun and starts shooting your classmates and friends. How do you hope that he would react? I'll tell you what I hope that he has a concealed carry permit and have some way to defend the honor. And these situations are rare, as evidenced by the UNC's in Texas, Northern Illinois, and Auburn. That's why the ability to carry concealed weapons is what we should attend today. Every day, millions of licensed Americans
Okay.
Obviously, the sponsors of this resolution believe in following the New York State law and accepting abiding by the federal and state legal limits on concealed carry. We are calling for civil disobedience, but should New York State law ever change, we wouldn't want the student assembly to invite the prohibiting students and faculty from taking advantage of the Constitution. People who will most likely take advantage of the resolution are not Jewish. To obtain a concealed carry permit takes days of classes and training, psychological and mastery and teaching tests, lots of training time, and lots of money. And on top of that, you have to be 21 years old before you can start the process, eliminating 3/4 of our undergraduate student body. And then on top of that, you can wait approximately 6 months before you receive it, myriad before your graduation. The people who are most likely to benefit from the resolution are the faculty members of the ZAC, allowing them to feel safe among your colleagues. I bet you think I'm up here today because I'm really passionate about gun law, but I don't know the guy. I'm speaking about a much larger concern, and that is who makes the law. As an American law-abiding citizen, I believe the state and federal government makes laws to protect you and I, and not the student assembly. We, the students in the student assembly, should be careful to not overstep our boundaries by thinking that our attendance and decisions in this meeting should get to limit our personal freedoms and constitutional rights. Regardless of the outcome of this resolution, New York State law will still be prohibiting concealed carry in college campuses tomorrow. There won't be a mad rush for 13,000 undergrads to find a concealed carry permit. The student assembly bill has taken steps in the right direction to stop limiting the personal
freedoms and recognizing
our constitutional rights.
3.5 minutes.
My name is Carol, and in the late 1950s, I was a copy of Monroe, North Carolina.
Ryan, here's the clock. How much time is left?
Okay, good. The only other thing I want to point out real quick is that we actually have changed the wording of the resolution slightly. It's only going to be available with all funds. And under this claim, we're not urging the administration that it's been taken. What this is that the assembly will hereby express its support. So it's a statement from us. I would encourage you to look at that.
So to clarify, you've taken out the be a bit further resolved clause.
No. This is as it stands right here.
This is how you want.
This is correct. I mean, this has been a wording change since we presented it to you last week.
Okay.
So just note that.
All right. Ashley McGovern.
Okay. I have a couple points here, and I've considered the evidence. My first point is just to address my constituency of the LGBTQ liaison. First, I've overheard actually many groups, I'm surprised, many groups of people that I don't know at all talking about this, just randomly, and I haven't heard one of the people that I've heard talk about it before, that's just one thing to keep in mind for the Jewish body. In terms of my constituency, LGBTQ community, I've tallied people, I've told them I want to see what they would think about this resolution. Not one person that I've not been supportive of, not one. And in light of recent hate crimes involving the LGBT community in California, involving an armed student who decided to pull out his weapon and kill the boy who asked him to be his valentine, I don't think it's responsible to pass this resolution. Okay, so that's one point. That's my constituency. I guess, oh my God. Okay, so second, the claim that we should consider the evidence. Again, okay. So let's look at our evidence. Let's look at what we have. We've given proof through no empirical data. We're just giving a quote from our friendly slaveholding founding father, Thomas Jefferson, about the purpose of the Second Amendment. And it's a propaganda from students from Field Carry, a very conservative group. And we're also told, by the way, that this is not radical. This is a mainstream proposition because the governor of Utah, who is a member of the administration of George W. Bush and Reagan, who are radical conservatives, we're told that this is mainstream and that we should support it because of that. I disagree. I don't think that this is a mainstream issue. I don't think Utah is really a great example for mainstream anything. I encourage everyone really to vote down this ridiculous and irresponsible clause. In terms of just realistically, even if this resolution was passed, even if we brought it to David's court, even if he went to the New York State Legislature, we would be laughed out of it. Considering the current type of climate and the current violence that's going on, it's irresponsible. It undermines the legitimacy of the student assembly to propose such a ridiculous and dangerous resolution. I encourage everyone to vote in. Yeah.
Mark, and I'm going to want to thank you both for making yourself available to meet with you over the past week. It's not even clear that your reason why it's seemingly unreasonable. And I believe you're still an untimely, illogical resolution to send before the State Assembly. Because remember, you guys certainly have all presented. You waved your arms and jumped up and down and got everyone's attention. So here we are. From the process that we've taken historically, the fundamental question of the Second Amendment can be the following light. As I said last week, by failing to account for the prospect of providing help to students be perceived by those students, we've probably done more to harm the Second Amendment question than we've chosen to ignore it. We've done a disservice to those who committed their lives lobbying decision makers at state and federal levels to reduce the scripts about gun ownership. While their argument is focused on the process of possible gun ownership, your argument is claiming that people should be choosing on campus the way Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois. And most recently, that you and the chapel at an event that struck all people at home, Ms. Carson is a friend who is a good friend of mine, and she chooses her for a time to choose her for president. We watch the news and our instincts have become gun ourselves. It is our right to say. But too many of you still don't understand that it takes more courage to put the guns away. You can't fight fire with fire, you can't fight fear with further intimidation. The issue of campus safety comes to the answer at Tower's Way Out. That is absolute core of the argument on the subject of individual liberties. Mark Hoffman believes that any restriction on an individual liberty guaranteed by the Bill of Rights is illegal. It's your individual right to arm yourself and carry a weapon regardless of where, when, and by whom. Yet they fail to recognize that arming students at Cornell is a violation of another individual liberty, the right of students in all Americans to safe and secure in their surroundings without an extended discharge. If you pay attention to the slightly over the past 7 days, you would have found the prospect of weapons on campus does not make students feel more safe or secure. It frightens them. This is because students on campus don't want weapons here, regardless of whether or not you feel that they have the right to do so according to the Second Amendment. They don't want to have to arm themselves in order to feel safe. Martin Hoffman has spent a considerable amount of time trying to prove up to the single state and collective judicial decisions we could own weapons on campus. They say that our federal laws, regardless of state laws and local campus provisions, allow our right to feel carry. I still think that providing exceptions to the rule, one state here, one judicial decision there, doesn't move us any closer to guaranteeing our right to conceal carry. Even if they truly believe we could carry weapons, Martin Hoffman, however, poses the question of why shouldn't we? If this resolution Martin Hoffman raises stakes, they inherently force all students into an arms race. If certain students have weapons, we all must have weapons to conceal carry.
Speaker's time is expired.
What's their
question? The motion you extend by how much? 30 seconds.
Once we all have weapons, we need more weapons. We need weapons. Automatic weapons, tactical weapons, in order to take the upper hand on personal safety and self-defense. Well, Mark Hoffman will have it believe that we all have the right to arm ourselves. They failed to provide a necessary life. We should arm ourselves. Mark Hoffman failed to account for the adverse risk of thousands of additional weapons on campus. They still failed to account for the dependence for activism and abuse. But most importantly, they failed to account for your fellow students by failing to recognize how they feel. Mark Hoffman, your fellow students feel an adverse time, and this is not the place where experiments conceal carry. Before this resolution, a gun on campus is a problem. After this resolution, a gun on campus is the norm. I'm sorry for your assembly to attach this idea for so long. I'm sorry for those Republicans on campus who contacted me. Distancing themselves from this issue. I've had to associate the proud name of their own political party with this issue. All these meetings have left radical attention on how to identify themselves. It's time to set this one hand for all.
on the magistrate comments. I first off would like to start out with my constituency. Except for the one email that I got telling me that I should pass it for my constituency, pretty much everyone that I've spoken to about this is enraged that this is even a possibility going to class because of their character. I represent the freshmen. I've been voted to do so. Currently, if you look at this, 21-year-olds are the only ones that would be able to carry this. So again, as I go to my Psych 101 class or any other class, let's take Gum 101, I'm not quite sure how I would be necessarily protected by this. I feel more scared to know that I'm sitting in the front, and if someone jumps up and says, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, guess what? Someone could be pulling out a gun and shooting him because he's afraid that this person is going to take out a gun. I think it's really irresponsible. I think it's putting danger into some students' hands, and I think we really need to be careful before we're ready to do that. Secondly, I'm also wondering, does this solve problems or does it cause more? Having more government figures, as some signs show, what about that party? What about when an argument comes up and people happen to be drinking? Suppose I say, oh, I can't get in. What's going to happen? If we have these little fights, people now have guns in their pockets and I'm scared to see the results. Again, we talk a lot about, oh, Cornell needs to listen to the Constitution. Well, I think Cornell also has a responsibility to maintain certain regulations on the campus. As I look on our Constitution, it does not say that as an under 21-year-old, I'm not allowed to be in the presence of alcohol. However, by maintaining certain regulations for our population, we ensure that people stay away from it, and so we make new rules to that point. Second of all, during final season, the Constitution does not say that I can't talk. However, we want to make sure that our dorms are safe, our campus is safe, and so we institute these regulations so that our students have a better place to live. Again, I'd like to add on to the point that I'm a freshman representative, and so more so, a lot of students are worried that, hey, I don't think I'm going to come back to Cornell because now I'm fired.
We will now extend the motion to extend
second.
20 seconds.
Okay, so additionally, I think we need to think about the ramifications about this. If Cornell is saying, let's have guns on campus, we should look at the admissions numbers and the people who may be scared to come to this campus as a result. This can severely hurt our campus. I think the solution is talking to CPD, talking about more security, and thinking about how can we do other things instead of putting guns into 21-year-old hands. Thank you.
We're going to go to the audience now. Undergraduate students only. William Lane is the first on the list. William, step up to the table. Grab a mic. You're going to have 2 minutes. State your name in here for the record.
I'm William Lane, year class of 2010. I want to say that I respect the opinions of those who don't believe that guns should have a place on the campus, because you do raise a fair point. But what I don't hear a lot of in your arguments are real hard numbers to back up evidence, so you say, of a correlation between an increase in gun violence and an increase in crime. In fact, there are many studies, and not just by Guns and Ammo magazine, that have stated that have found that there are decreases in firearm-related homicides in the years between 1974 and 1988, while firearm ownership increased by 67%, homicide rates fell by 14.6%. So I'd like to see what connection there is, how adding more guns necessarily increases how many people are going to be shot.
30 seconds.
Students have the right to defend themselves with firearms does not necessarily mean that they're going to be firing them off anyway. Most weapons defenses themselves either by firing warning shots or a whole 77% are solved simply by displaying the gun and then the stacker runs away. We should allow ourselves the right to defend ourselves because liberty exercised properly is its own benefit. Thank you.
Yeah. background noise.
Okay, so this is certainly not going to be nearly as epic as the last couple of statements we've heard, but so I remember last week, Mr. Coombs, you said that it would be tragic if someone showed up to class with a gun, and I completely agree with you. I agree that it would be equally as tragic, if not more so, if someone shows up to Psych 101 with a gun with the intent of shooting. What I think is just as tragic, if not even worse, is the 1,200 students in Psych 101, which is the largest course in the country, all pulling out weapons, turning Psych 101 into a firefight. And if you have a gunman with people who are armed for the sole purpose of shooting down gunmen, that's what's going to happen. Now you said after days of training you can get these concealed weapons permits, and I certainly don't want students running around campus who have only had a weekend of, you know, concealed weapons training holding firearms. Now, also, I serve as a university tour guide, and there are a few tour guides in the room right now, and Cornell just grew out of its reputation as the number one suicide campus in the country, and I've had to answer questions from parents who are very, very worried that their students are not going to come home because they threw themselves off the gorge. And I certainly do not want to have to answer questions to prospective parents about why their student will have to carry a gun because everyone else is going to have a gun. This is, I'm appalled that this actually came before the student assembly. I think that this is illegal in New York State law. It worries me that you didn't know this when you introduced the resolution. And everyone who has spoken out against this is worried about guns on campus. And everything I have ever heard in support of this resolution is a Second Amendment debate. And this is not the forum for a Second Amendment debate. I would love to debate it with you later, but Cornell University is not about to rule on Second Amendment debate. We care about the safety of our students, and that's where it ends.
What do you want to do with your time?
I see this in the chair.
Yes, Mark. In the document you passed out last week,
in
New York State law, who's preparing on Scott Brass, CPD, right. If you look at the New York, by the part of the New York State penal law, 265.01,
yes.
And Section 3, that's where it really comes from. So, you know, I mean, when things are prohibited. Rifle, shotgun, firearm, in or upon a building or grounds for educational purposes in any school, college, or university, except the forestry lands operated by the state, etc., without a written authorization of such educational institution. So for those of you who insist this is against the law, first of all, I want to make my point of information to the chair point out that the resolution isn't advocating anything. It's saying what we're advocating is this assembly, this body, making a statement in favor of this issue, and also, like I said, if you look at the penal code here, without written authorization of such educational institution implies, obviously, if there were written authorization of such educational institution, it would be perfectly legal. So, the New York State penal code, the penal law.
Your point is noted.
Right.
Information?
Yes.
I spoke with someone over at ILR today, and I was unable to gather the information as to whether or not the endowed schools would come under SUNY in this situation. So I was wondering if anyone was aware of whether or not, if this resolution did pass, and if theoretically guns could be carried on private parts of this campus, whether or not they could be in the endowed schools, and whether or not, because we have the endowed schools, this is just illegal overall.
Dean Hubble, can you answer this question for us? Cornell is a land-grant institution. I believe there's a difference between land-grant and SUNY. Can you answer this question?
If I understand it, you know, Cornell is a private university. That's the beginning and the end of it. You have to contract colleges, which contract the state to be created, but otherwise for a private university. So I would venture to say that our private property is something that we control, and that we wouldn't fall under any kind of law to apply to SUNY system per se. And that is, I'd have to check, you know, to be absolutely sure about this, but that's my first assumption on this issue.
Thank you.
In the actual land-grant schools, for instance, in Ives Hall, as opposed to just walking around the university, that was last?
I think Ives Hall is private property.
Right,
that's the assumption.
Okay. Randy.
Yeah, so I seriously considered this resolution. So I emailed a professor at SUNY Cortland, and he wrote a book called The Politics of Gun Control. He's like an expert. And I'm just going to read you the email he sent me. I appreciate any wishes he sent right around that time, but I think every one of these points is gold, so I'm just going to go through it real quick. Listen up. I read the resolution. There are several problems with the idea. One, the vast majority of campuses in the U.S. have a no-gun policy, or if guns are allowed, they have to be kept in a campus police lockup or similar location. And if you look at national crime statistics on campuses going back decades, this policy has been very successful, and that overall crime rates are relatively low. More to the point, violent crime rates are very low, and gun crimes are virtually unheard of. And so Virginia Tech are here the reason things are happening. The assumption in the resolution that existing campus policies around the country have failed is statistically false. Thus, civilian gun carrying on campus is a solution in search of a problem. Widespread gun carrying would mean greater gun density, and gun density is associated with several specific problems. A, greater risk of gun suicide, the likelihood of suicide success is greater with guns than any other means of suicide. B, risk of gun accidents. C, risk of gun theft with ensuing other harm. These problems vastly outweigh the terrifying but statistically minuscule prospect of a campus shooter like Virginia Tech. And for an unarmed student to have any realistic chance of deterrence worth warning an armed attack like Virginia Tech or Northwestern Lawyer or North Illinois University, think about how many students in how many classes in how many buildings over how many days of the week would need to present and serve as an actual deterrent. In light of AI, armed campus is carrying a solution for nothing, but the sound has for many full trials. Student campus populations within high-density areas are multiplied with presence of guns as compared with, for example, a suburban neighborhood or retail. Other risks amplify the young populations are subject to periods of race check and have many uses of alcohol and other
drugs.
How much?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any second? Go ahead.
Have many uses of alcohol and other drugs which degrade judgment regarding possession / use of guns. Campuses have their own law enforcement system populated by trained and usually armed professionals. A few students have military, police, or shooting experience, but they are students first, not armed professionals. By and large, armed students are amateurs. Law enforcement is generally best left to the professional force to find that task. Plus, guns are not the only solution to safety concerns. Greater dorm security, Cornell's recent campus-wide alert system, better lighting, locks on doors, cameras, alarms, smoke controls, etc. are but a few of the many ways to improve security and deter crime. Finally, a college campus is not a place where young people live. It is a university, a place for learning. It is simply not the Hobbesian world that carries the gun advocates to make it out. Furthermore, I wanted to address Rachel's comment about Psych 101. I'm a DA for Psych 101. And let someone come in with a gun and watch it on the news.
You have 45 seconds. What do you want to do? Thank you. I am.
I guess I don't have quite as much prepared as everyone else, but I'm an engineer. I've been talking about this resolution for the past week with my constituency, and other than two emails I got, every single person I talked to laughed in my face and said, "Are you seriously considering this resolution? This is ludicrous, and I'm terrified of the idea." With that said, I think a lot of points have been brought up that are very valid. Aiding in suicides, I mean, you talk about the person who doesn't get the job they want or anything like that, now they conveniently have a gun in the top right drawer. I would never want to call the parents and tell them what happened. Again, 3 weeks ago, we were in here talking about Juicy Campus. Somebody being called something on Juicy Campus, enough to push them over the edge. Again, not more guns, I think, is a bad call. Somebody else addressed fraternity parties. I'd like to bring up a little example. I witnessed a fight break out because somebody got in the way of the flight path of a ping pong ball. I would be terrified if I thought of having 500 drunk people with guns in a basement. Another point I'd like to address. A committee member brought up the point that most of the time when a shot is discharged, it's a warning shot. Have you ever been in the Statler at 1 o'clock or in Duffield before Greenland? I would be terrified if a warning shot went off, and which it would most likely do. So I guess I would be very, very against this resolution as well.
Any time? I can't read guys chicken scratch. Nova Brzezinski.
You did a good job.
Thank you. 2 minutes.
Hello, I'm Pete Clement, 2008. I'd first like to start by just explaining to Mark Hammond that he's already going his personal attack. He's really able to start very well, and he's been genuinely in your discussion to your side of the issue. I'd like to respond to the issue of numbers and statistics. That has already been brought up. I feel the student assembly already does, and I wrote a little bit of the statistical implications that we're under a wave of violence is mathematically absurd. We present that Virginia Tech, we present that Illinois, even today, unfortunate instance in North Carolina. I would say coupled with the disastrous Columbine shooting years before and the Little Rock massacre a month earlier, that these events, while tragic, are still anomalous and unrelated to each other, and are more impacted by incidents in those individual communities and do not reflect on the situation as a whole in the country. You might assume that we do have a right to carry arms, and that's fine, but again, as Milan pointed out, there's no reason to do that. And I believe, even though I think that's the feeling of today, I think that endorsing this is to say that it's okay to be scared, that the essay by endorsing this would agree that for some reason Cornell is in danger and that the essay feels that Cornell needs to defend itself from a statistically impossible attack. Again, on the issue of who would own a gun, I look around the room and I know and respect many of you. I've had classes with many of you. There's not a single person in this room who I would be comfortable knowing you own the weapon, let alone carry it to school.
That's just the one.
Unfortunate example of shooting is gender truth. And I would say that violence is present in our society, but it's not intended. And to plan for a worst case scenario, to plan for a tragedy, is a wrong step, and the essay would be greatly misguided if they even considered it further.
That's President Levin.
First, I just wanted to thank the new co-sponsors, Carol and Rachel. I think your insights have at least made this discussion relatively legitimate, and we're having a discussion. In my opinion, I think this group, however, is really neglecting the realities of Cornell culture, student culture. And, you know, I've taken this resolution very seriously, and you've heard a lot of representatives say, I've had many of my constituents come up to me and they're terrified, they're scared, they're against it. I haven't had that problem because, you've had a lot of representatives say that they've kind of polled their constituents. All of my constituents have come to me. And every time I've talked to them, I have a little snapshot of fear, like legitimate fear, when we're just talking about the situation. This is definitely detrimental to Cornell culture, and you really have to realize the student culture here, it's just not aligned with what we believe in, what we do, how we operate. So that's why this is not appropriate and we need to vote this down.
At my discretion, I'm going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Vince, go ahead.
Most of the assembly is probably against this resolution. I would actually like to make a statement why I'm for this resolution. And I'm going to vote yes. I want to know why I'm voting yes.
Fine.
Even though people are voting
yes. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. All opposed. All right, NASDAQ.
Thank you. I just want to have responses.
Yep.
Got the
message. Guns are scary things. Your constituencies represent the NASDAQ. I had somebody tell me that the idea that criticizing gun free zones for not working. The idea of the gun free zone itself is a misnomer. If students are afraid of having guns on campus, we've already got a testimony from a man who does this on a daily basis. He's an alum. He works here. He's among us. He serves and protects. There are guns here. The only thing is the people who bring them on don't see the sign that says gun free zone. They either don't see it or they don't care. They bring them on secretly. This resolution affects only law-abiding citizens who, now, I can ask the students that we have, for those of you who present this as a theoretical constitutional argument, is New York State law good enough for you? New York State says we trust our citizens to carry concealed weapons. Do those of you who speak against this not trust your fellow students? New York State law. or stand up for faculty. Whoever wants to have Psych 101, if it's all freshmen, what about staff members? What about faculty members? Is New York State law good enough for you?
Matter of fact, who specifically did you yield your time to? You have to name a name. You can't just give it to a group of people. Did you yield your time to Mark?
No,
yeah, it's not cutting into your time.
I
yielded
to the sponsor
so
that many times before.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm just going to say one of the
As I said, I just want to explain why I support this resolution. When I documented Mark Barber's visit to the board, I expect nobody else to vote for him, but I just want to explain why. I actually agree with what Roger Steve's comments that these anomalies are rare. And I should not agree that Resolution 17 is going to save lives, per se. But at the same time, there is no proof that concealed carry increases violence on campus. But for all these statements, there's no actual evidence that it's going to create more violence. In fact, everyone is assuming these statements to the contrary. All the robust evidence shows from academia that more guns do not correlate with more violence. So take a second to soak that in. There's no proven correlation. With that said, since there's no proof expressing otherwise, I tend to err on the side of philosophical reasoning for what Marcus was saying for the Second Amendment, that citizens have a right to bear arms for their self-defense. And I don't believe that this resolution is the way to solve the problem of gun violence. I believe this problem needs to be solved socially and culturally, as everyone can say. The culture of violence must be solved in truth. The reason why I support this has become more evident to me over the course of these 2 weeks. Students have rallied behind the idea of them having no responsibility, going to the defense of us being belligerent, drunkard, arguments that degrade us as drunkard, personally fatigued. If we want to be taken seriously by the administration, by our adults here,
30 seconds.
We first have to take ourselves seriously and respect our fellow students as citizens. I mean, Cornellians are Ivy League students that are considered the brightest individuals in the world. And it concerns me that we have no trust in our fellow peers who have shown such intelligence. Almost every Cornellian is a citizen of the United States, and as citizens, I respect every Cornellian's right to bear arms. So my goal is not to be
expired.
Motion to extend, like, 20 seconds.
It's been a motion to extend. 20 seconds. There was a motion. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? 20 seconds. Extend this time.
Okay. My goal is not to increase campus safety from our support of this resolution. My goal is to increase citizens' rights with respect to the framework of intention of the Constitution. It's at moments as these that people fear guns the most. It's at moments as these that we could lose so much and gain so little by more gun control. Fear makes people think irrationally. And I only hope that students realize that attacking guns as a problem is not a valid solution.
Speaker's
and
time.
And it just simply repeats the robust evidence that more guns are correlated with more violence.
Name a year director.
Hi guys, my name is Ethan Felder. I'm a class alumni at the College of
of all, I just want to commend Representative Randy Salem for reaching out to Professor Spitzer of Portland. He is the foremost expert on this issue. He wrote a book called Six Women, so I actually had the chance to take a class with him in the summer college of 2004. And what Randy is saying is completely correct. The notion that has been shifted that allowing concealed weapons on campus will not increase violence is completely ludicrous and against the system. If you read Professor Spitzer's book, the chances of someone who owns a gun being the victim of a homicide is twice as high. And not only that, but that being the victim of a suicide is four times as high. So if you allow concealed weapons on campus, you're going to expect to have a homicide and suicide rate way above what it is now, which is pretty much almost zero. So why do it in the first place? What about an interviewer instead? Having said that, I just want to point out that everyone keeps saying that their representative constituents are not in support of this thing. Frankly, I think the only people that are in support of this thing are the people holding signs here in this room, all five of them, all Cornell Republicans. I mean, it's completely ludicrous. So, you know, it's great that we're arguing about this, and frankly, I knew that the FDA was unlikely to pass this resolution, but just to shoot down the idea, I thought it necessary to come. So my message to Mr. Coombs and the Student Assembly is clear. Keep guns off this campus. We don't want these killing machines on our art squad, in our libraries, in our cafeterias. Thank you.
Thank you. Back when I have MLS.
Thank you. So I just have to thank you all for coming to demonstrate your opinion regarding this resolution. I think it's really important that you guys come on either side of this, for or against this resolution. And I think it's great that you guys have gotten so involved. I just wanted to make some points of what my opinions are. First of all, some of you are so against this. You should go fight the Second Amendment because that's what it's for. Another thing I just want to bring up is that, as some of you mentioned earlier, there's no facts, no statistical evidence, and I'd love to see the statistical evidence against or support this, so I can't even able to see the given the evidence that some of you have provided. Another issue that's come up with me is the mention of off-campus housing. Off-campus housing is off-campus, so you have the right to own it. You can get the right to carry a gun because it's off-campus, not off-campus. So I just wanted to gauge that fact that was said earlier.
One minute.
But another issue that I have is, like, the rules are in place. The Cornell law rules that are created the purpose of being safety-wise, and one of the rules like this is meant to create a false sense of security. As Cornell Police Officer mentioned in his letter, people do carry guns, and it's true to carry on campus. And this rule creates a false sense of safety for many of us. We live under the guise of safety, and there are many rules that the administration has created that is meant to keep us safe, but also there is a security. So, I just wanted to mention that. I don't know if you might have to represent the
party. Yeah, I'd just like to quickly point out, I had one thing, Rachel brought it up. I don't think anyone's attacking the sororities and this too. I think I'd ask you another question. Would you get in a car with a drunk driver?
Rebecca Stein.
Seeing the affiliation that this resolution has had with this group. There are plenty of people on this campus who are open-minded, logical Republicans, and I would like to make that very clear. I personally support carrying guns, and I support the Second Amendment. This is not an argument of the Second Amendment. This resolution has the potential to so greatly harm our constituents, and I do not believe that they would want us to vote for it, and I do not think they're coming to do so. Rachel very eloquently stated that if you want to carry a concealed weapon, you have to go through days of training, psych evaluations, medical history reviews, and you must be 21. This just goes to highlight the fact that if passed, this resolution would do nothing but give guns to a few people who are willing to go through an exceedingly cumbersome process in order to get their permit. I have plenty of friends who have concealed weapons permits, and they have no desire to carry a gun on campus because there is no logical reason to do so unless you wish to shoot up a lecture hall. I also shudder to think the liability this university would face if
somebody who we enabled to carry a concealed weapon did engage in such a violent act, we would be looked upon as flagrantly disregarding any logical means of protecting our students, and I urge everyone to vote against this resolution. Everybody seems to be saying that we have presented no evidence to show that more guns will lead to more violence. However, I have heard no evidence that more guns will lead to less violence. And since you are looking to change the current rules, I feel that the burden of proof is on you. We cannot compare Utah and Cornell. We are a private school, they are a public school. Our laws are far more stringent. This resolution is absolutely ludicrous. It's a waste of our time. I'm appalled that we are discussing it for this long, and I call it a question.
Second, is there any dissent? Ahmed, 10 seconds to describe the dissent.
Thank you. the lack of ingenuity in terms of the housing quality, and I feel like there are far better ways to simply to go about prioritization. I hope this is a major resolution under the guise of promoting safety on campus. We'll take it long to try about finding other ways to achieve the needs that is truly applicable. I would like to echo other representatives who have advocated for some particular form of other avenues to ensure safety.
Here is what they're
recommending. I don't feel that this is the time for the state to resolution.
45 seconds.
And that the speaker simply is not going to support the president's nature. Clearly, doing so would be disappointing to have seen maybe to those who sit here and represent. I think the court is taking a few
minutes to
address
this
by no means.
Yeah. Just a point of order.
Yeah.
These are the non-voting members, so they're treated just like community members in terms of how they're going to speak. They're going to be probably carrying that's what we did when we were doing that.
And the chair can recognize anyone at any time. Just putting that out there.
Go ahead, Barb.
The only reason a person with a gun on campus is to shoot up a ritual. I just want that to sink in. How ridiculous. How utterly, completely offensive. Point two. The idea that New York State doesn't have very stringent laws. The Brady campaign, which the Brady campaign was if the NRA is like the most pro-gun organization you think of, the Brady campaign is the most anti-gun. The Brady campaign was New York 6 of 50 states for their gun laws. So basically, New York State is a thumbs up in the Brady campaign. So my question to Representative Stein, who apparently no longer wanted to be in this room, would be, if the laws are in fact so stringent, then what is the, that, for somebody to present it, wouldn't that be for your case? I mean, the idea that it's already so difficult to obtain a concealed carry license in this state, I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
30 seconds.
There are guns on this campus. I think people keep saying we don't want to bring guns on the campus. There are guns on this campus. The people who bring them on just don't tell you. They don't tell us. They don't tell the administration. They don't tell New York State. This is a resolution for law-abiding citizens of a nation and the trust that, I mean, this idea is not radical. It was radical over 200 years ago to put guns in the hands of the citizenry and say, we trust you with those. I'm not going to support that good thing. We trust our students with these. We trust our law-abiding students, faculty. If my father had a concealed carry permit, he's a 20-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department, he had a concealed carry permit, but we trust him with that.
And if we pass this resolution, this will just make Cornell
even less attractive and more dangerous to the international community. Thank you.
Okay, Eric Kolish.
Hi, question about the major. I don't know what to say about this. I think the boisterous person in the front row is even probably Sally. I think it's a good debate to have because, first of all, I think this just exposes how incredibly ludicrous and absolutely ridiculous this debate really is. And we need to have this so that we can see from here on out. This is ridiculous. Okay, so just a few things. This is not, and Representative Stein, I gotta point you out, that was a fantastic speech. As a Republican, you make the point that this is not a party line issue, this is a common frigging sense issue. Okay? Excuse me if I'm out of order. But field safety is not equal being safe. It is concealed carry. Just by the very definition of concealed, how do you know if that person has the gun? Unless you're gonna go around opening people's breast pockets, having them down, we're not going to know exactly how safe you are because you don't know where the guns are. I can think of no better example to illustrate this than our grandfather. Look, Vince said this a few times. A lot of people said, what happens when someone gets drunk? Well, Vince, we do get drunk. I hate to say it, but we do. It doesn't mean everyone does, but we do. So we have to take into account these problems. Can you imagine what would happen if five people showed up at a frat party drunk with guns and you didn't know it? So, in any case, the other thing that I should say is statistics really aren't going to win this argument. Each side will say statistics will prove their point. That's sort of a given. You can manipulate statistics. But logically, let's think about this. As Cornelfer, as Lafayette and Mark have pointed out, the problem is that people are disobeying the laws and bringing weapons on campus. They're saying that in order to solve the problem, we need to bring more of the problem onto the campus. Think about it. They admit that the problem is that people are bringing on campus. So how do we solve it? Let's add more of the problem. The
speaker's time is expired. Please, on that.
I just want to touch on a couple of things. First, I find it unbelievably offensive and I don't appreciate the attack on the Greek system. Many of you have used my community as an example to not support this resolution. I would ask that you not support the resolution based on your own opinion and merits of the resolution, not false assumptions that you make about the community that I represent. Also, the rampant violence that have happened in recent have not happened within my community, but in the very places that many of your constituencies reside. So I would just ask that you take that into consideration as well. These acts of violence that people talk about have not happened in fraternity houses. The other thing is, we have a remarkable Greek system here at Cornell. And I think that, you know, a better sign, JV, might be, you know, any party, or alcohol mixed with guns is a bad example, not a frat party, because there's many parties where ping pong balls fly through the air. So I would ask that in this discussion, you don't disrespect my constituency, because I don't disrespect yours and my opinion.
And your time? Sponsor Quigley.
Thank you.
30 seconds.
Those numbers are easily out of campus. The other thing with that is very difficult, and the people who do so should be allowed to because they are law-abiding Americans. Background check, water protect, accurate shooting, all these courses to cover things like, false flag and everything else like that. This is all under the legislation provided by the state and federal government, and I don't know why we're preventing it from being talked about here.
Point of information.
Yep.
In the bid, there were golf spots, the second one. Who are the proper authorities?
That was based on previous discussions with Mr. in the House of Assembly. A lot of times, President Sport himself doesn't respond to these, so it would be in his judgment to delegate to whomever would write this report. I mean, obviously, President Sport isn't there. It's just to whomever, it's leaving it to President's judgment.
Call the question.
I'm going to call the question for a second. Is there any dissent?
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Mark?
The reason I think is because are there any committee members still in the like, I think there are 4%
committee
members.
There are 8 community members, and there are 6 SA members on the second speaker's list. The first speaker's list has been exhausted. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Yes?
Is the first speaker exhausted?
Yes.
Any members too?
No. But we're rotating them. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All opposed? 1, 2, 3. Abstaining. That passes. I'm now going to recognize community members that have come to the meeting to speak. Anyone would like to say something pressing? All right. What? Yeah, I'm great. What? Go ahead.
Okay, well, I
just talk to the microphone because we're recording it, so we can relive it.
Right. In a pre-decision leading up to the target resolution, you guys have voted to overturn the deal with our SSC funding and interest to fill that late paperwork. And you recently sent me a call letter to all the almighty SSC handbooks. And yet you guys are too willing to go apply and take the U.S. Constitution in one of our main rights. I think that you guys, as a representative, should represent all the students' rights, all the time, not just some of the rights, some of the time. I think you guys should
part of
American
constitutional
right, we have right
to bear arms. What is it? Mark, I think you're the expert. Ask Mark a question.
You were talking about the overseas law.
I said I'd like
it
to go
on
right, not necessarily breaking law.
Okay, thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that precedent is actually not analogous because it's up to the representative to decide if they're going to be strict in terms of deciding based on the P&T handbook. That's we're a legislative body, so I just want to make it clear.
Motion on the floor. Sponsors of the resolution, I'm going to recognize for 2 final minutes to summarize everything and provide closing arguments. Yeah.
This is what I was going to say. I think it's important to recognize what this debate is about. This debate is about allowing people who can carry guns legally everywhere. I'm talking in roll-offs, in junkyards where we haven't seen recent shootings because, apparently not a lot of people who you claim would bring guns and just shoot up bars, apparently don't do that. So it is clear that we are talking about people who legally would carry guns. This resolution is saying that the student assembly supports a person's right to defend themselves. If they so choose to defend themselves by obtaining a concealed carry weapon, since they can do it everywhere else, we think they can do it on campus. Guns already come on campus illegally. We are trying to say that we view the position of not allowing guns as simply not a position that is enforced. Why not allow those who would go through the legal process do it? It makes no sense. This is also a safety issue. The law cannot protect you at all times, so why should it limit your ability to protect yourself? Remember, we have a statement from a police officer. Read it before you go, please. It has very important points. Guns are already on campus that have been used to commit crimes. A vote for this resolution, for those of you who support the Second Amendment, is a vote for the Second Amendment. Because we are simply regaining our rights to keep arms, bear arms that we have
at our house
to this campus. A vote against this resolution is a vote against the Second Amendment. Because you are taking away a right without letting us know why you're taking it away. There is no evidence that guns and crime correlate. There is evidence that liberalizing gun laws, in fact, decrease crime rates. There is evidence that liberalizing gun laws allow people to protect themselves from rape, from being
marked.
People vote yes on this resolution if you believe in the Constitution.
Would the clerk please call the roll?
No.
He usually abstains anyway. Proxy, no.
Harmon?
Yes.
Lash?
No.
Lashman?
No.
Matt?
No.
McCutter?
No.
Miller?
Proxy, no.
Adrock?
No.
Adrian?
Yes.
Arthel?
No.
Derek?
Even proxy, I'm going to go.
No.
You look like last, but okay.
Yeah, right. By a vote of 14 to 1, Resolution 17 fails. There's been an addition to business of the day. Resolution 18. I'm sorry, now Resolution 19. It's an extension of campaign finance. It's an motion to adjourn the meeting, but it was out of order. It has to be the floor. You have to have the floor to make a motion to adjourn the meeting. It's a resolution regarding the extension of campaign finance disclosure deadline by Vice President Natarai.
Point of order?
Yep.
Actually,
yes, sir. Yep. Guy, can you find that, please? It has to be, he has to have the floor to
make a motion, you have to have the floor.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Bud, what are you walking for?
Arjun.
Arjun,
we're not getting any younger. I invite all assembly members to sit down.
I'm actually going to be quorum break. There's not quorum anymore for this meeting. I'm leaving on the last one.
One, that's true. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Someone say so. I don't get all that. Eight people here? Right here. You're right.
All right, so the DOE left. I'll mark that. The Director of Elections left when we were trying to speak about an elections matter.
Noted.
He's a germ. Such a hypocrite. He always tell me when... Oh, rumble.
Yeah, I'm sorry. CJ, yeah. CJ, are you going to move to the power slot?
What?
Are you going to move to the power slot?
This has been a production of Cornell University.
on the web at cornell.edu.